You know, I know for some people, this whole concept of a Holy Spirit can be a little bit weird. It might make you feel a little bit skeptical. I've been there. You know, when I first got saved back in 2008, I was going to a Baptist church that they were a little bit open to it, but my uni ministry where I spent most of my time was very conservative and didn't believe that the Holy Spirit was relevant to today. So I went through a whole bunch of teaching in my early days going, now the Holy Spirit, what even is that thing? You know, it doesn't really exist, doesn't do much. And so I had that in my mind. And then I went to a camp a couple of years after I got saved, and I'm in worship, and I'd never really raised my hands much, let alone, you know, kneel in worship. And all of that happened at that camp, and I started to, you know, get things feeling on my heart to pray for people and stuff like that. And I'd never experienced that before, and I had no idea what was going on. And I went back to my pastor, and he was like, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. And I was like, he doesn't exist though, does he? That's what I've been told. And he's like, here's a book. Go and read this. Now, I didn't really read the book. I took it and was like, oh, okay, nah, this is a bit weird. So I didn't read it. A couple of years later, still in Geelong, I got involved with a very charismatic, very, very Pentecostal church through some friends. They wanted to pioneer a uni ministry, and they're like, oh, well, Jimmy's been doing it basically forever. We'll get him involved with the uni ministry there. So I did, and it was a lot of fun. They were very different. They weren't quiet when you're praying. They weren't quiet in meetings. You go to church and everybody's jumping around during praise, and I'm like, okay, this is different. I'm not sure what to make of this. Anyway, I went to a Connect group there, and you've probably heard me share this one before, and they said, oh, we've got somebody here who's not been baptized in the Holy Spirit and can't talk in tongues. And so they basically dragged me into the middle, and there was 11 of them standing around praying for me to speak in tongues, and it was awkward. Like, I'm just like, what is going on right now? And to be honest, it kind of put me off the whole Holy Spirit thing. And then I met Em. And to be honest, it almost broke us up in the early days, because I was like, the Holy Spirit's not real, right? You know? And Em's like, what did you just say? Like, that's blasphemy. So it almost broke us up, and then I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll explore it. I'll explore this. You know, and I said to God, you know, if the Holy Spirit is real, then I want it. And it took a little while. I was on a bus going to uni, and it just happened, which is awkward in and of itself. You're just sitting there with earphones in, and you're just praying under your breath. The next minute, you're speaking in tongues. Good thing I was sitting at the back, and there weren't too many people super close, so they didn't really think that there was a fruitcake on the back of the bus. So that's all right. And since then, it's been an incredible journey for me. And so I encourage you, if you are somebody who's a little bit skeptical or who thinks it's a little bit weird and you're not sure, particularly today, as Em and I share, I want you to open your heart, open your mind to who the Holy Spirit is and what he can do. Like for me, I can't do anything without the Holy Spirit now. I just can't. He's a part of who I am. He's there with me. He's that good voice on the shoulder that, you know, slaps me over the back of the head if I'm like, no, I'm going to do this my way. And that's like, no, do it that way. And I'm like, okay, I get you. But if I hadn't have been open to that, you know, the times when I've prayed for people and seen them healed, God's bigger than all of that. So he may very well have done it, but he probably wouldn't have used me. You know, I've been able to develop the gift of prophecy, which is something that I never thought that I'd experience. And I'll talk about it a little bit later. When I was approached to join Christy's training group for the prophetic, I said no. I'm like, that's not me. Turns out, Christy was right, I was wrong. But that's all right. You know, it's his power in me that allows me to get up and do this when I'm on the stage. You know, yes, there's abilities that we are given, and we can use those, but it's the Holy Spirit within me that allows me to actually get up here, proclaim his truth, to pray for people, to do that. And in each and every one of us, there are things that naturally we are gifted to and push towards, but it's the Holy Spirit within us that actually empowers us and equips us to take those steps for the kingdom of God. And so we need to embrace the Holy Spirit. You know, there's been, you know, he can do this in all of us to change the world in a mighty way, starting with our church and then with our city, and then it permeates throughout. The Holy Spirit is all about equipping us and empowering us to actually have a positive influence in the world. I'll talk a little bit about what happened that first Pentecost in a little bit. And you see that the Holy Spirit fell on them so that they could go and have an impact in the world. Now, over the last 2 years, we've had a number of prophecies spoken over our church in prayer meetings and different things. Em's going to bring quite a few of them. I've just got a couple that I want to touch on. There was one that I had that basically the Holy Spirit was showing us that if we go in the same direction, if we band together and listen to the Holy Spirit and allow him to influence us, that our church, our city, can be the epicenter of revival in this country and in this state, which is pretty cool. It's scary, but it's pretty cool. But that takes us being of one accord and going, you know what, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. We want you to minister so that we can move in that direction. You know, Ted Fabianic, nearly 2 years ago, he came and prophesied over our church that we would be a church of the extreme, because extreme changes the world and then becomes normal. He's like, you know, we say in the Lord's Prayer, as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. Why can't that be normal? Why does that have to be radical or different? Why can't that be normal? And when we allow the Holy Spirit to move, heaven's on earth. So we need to embrace this. Okay, so where and how does it all start? Well, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to open it up to the book of Acts, and I'm going to start in chapter 1. Now, the book of Acts is one of my favorite books. It talks about the early church and the Holy Spirit coming and some of the amazing things that the disciples are able to do, particularly because it's post-Jesus. And so this is Jesus speaking. This is the last sentence he says before his ascension. So Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love this. He sends him out a huge challenge and a huge task to go out into all of the world. But first, before that happens, they're going to be equipped with the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. And you know, there are so many things that all of us are called to, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to equip us in order to do those things. You know, and the word baptizo in the Greek means to be saturated or immersed. And we see it literally when people get in the bath for water baptisms. Now, there's one next Sunday, so if you'd like to be baptized, come and chat to me afterwards. I'm just going to put a plug in. That's all right. But we are also saturated and immersed or baptized in the Holy Spirit if we want it. We can be filled to overflowing with the power of God. You know, he empowers us and equips us to live the kind of life that Jesus did. And you think about Jesus, he changed the world around him. You know, the sick were healed, the blind could see, the dead were raised, the lame started walking. You know, he raised himself from the dead too, which is pretty cool. But he was God, so he was able to do that one. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. Jesus said in John 14:12 that once I'm gone, you will do even greater things than I. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I'm kind of slightly intimidated, but at the same time, I'm like, bring it on. You know, we have this power in us to actually go into the world and make a difference. It's just a matter of whether we want it or not. Now, we do receive the Holy Spirit when we are born again. There's a scripture in John 20 where Jesus says, He says that he breathes over them and says, you have received the Holy Spirit. But there's a bit more to it in being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, when we are born again, we had that. And Jesus received this activation from on high in Matthew chapter 3. He had the Holy Spirit and he was baptized, and then the dove descended and rested on him. Now, if Jesus needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and he was God, how much more do we need it as humans? We do need it. So John chapter 20, I just want to touch on that verse where he says that. So this is John 20 verses 19 to 22. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, so this is just after Jesus has resurrected, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, fun fact, this meeting here occurred in the very same room as where the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. So this, I just find that that's incredibly profound, that it's the same room. They received the Spirit there, and then they got the Holy Spirit baptism in the same room. 40 days later, Jesus said to wait for him, or wait in Jerusalem, because he was going to send his helper, and they did. They were in the same room. And although the disciples at that point had received the Spirit, Jesus was saying, there's something else you need. There's power that you need to preach the gospel, to touch the world in which we live. Don't leave Jerusalem until the power of his Holy Spirit comes on you. It's like a lamp, you know. You can turn a lamp on, but until you flick the switch, it doesn't show light. And for us, the Holy Spirit is flicking that switch. It's flicking that switch of being able to come out and preach the truth, to pray for people, to believe and see miracles happen. So we need to flick that switch. And so the disciples waited in Jerusalem and returned on the day of Pentecost to that upper room. Now, it's interesting. The calendar day for that Pentecost in the calendar was the same day that Moses received the Ten Commandments up on Mount Sinai. Again, it's an interesting fact that I really like, that we receive the Ten Commandments and then we receive our helper later, thousands of years later down the track. We're given the first lot of help through the law, and then the second lot of help through the Holy Spirit to actually have an impact in this world. I think it's pretty profound. Now, Jesus invited roughly 500 people that he spoke to to come to that, but only 120 turned up, which is a bit of a shame, because, you know, even more people turning up would have been even more incredible. And you might be like, oh, they must have been, you know, teachers and the disciples and all of that, so it's just important people. Well, let's have a look at some of those people that we know of that were in the upper room. Of course, there was Simon Peter, the guy who denied Jesus three times. And he was brash. He did what he wanted. He cut a dude's ear off when he came to arrest Jesus. But he was in the room. Then there's Thomas, who perpetually doubted who Jesus was, even though he was with him. Thomas was in the room. You got Mary Magdalene, a woman of ill repute. Can you imagine the Pharisee sitting out there going, who do you think you are going up into that room? But Mary Magdalene was there. You know, you got James and John. Now, they didn't do anything too out of control. But at one point, they were more interested in sitting at Jesus' right and left-hand side than what they were actually being asked to do. Then you got Mary, the mother of Jesus, pregnant out of wedlock, but she was so very faithful. And then there were so many others, men and women. There were so many others in that room. All were normal when they went in, and they came out changed. Came out carrying a little bit of heaven that we can all carry if we want it. It's the new normal. So 120 had power operating in their lives. 120 people made space to pray and set an atmosphere and were expectant for God to move in and through them. They were repentant people who turned to who trusted Jesus as Lord. And that's a starting point for this. We need to focus on Jesus, turn back to him and allow him to be the Lord of our lives. And then he sends us his helper through Holy Spirit baptism. You know, imagine being in that room, having created space for him to move and having his spirit poured into, over and through us. It's a reality every day, church. It's a reality every day that we have that access to the Holy Spirit. You know, so anyone who has turned back to Jesus and accepted him qualifies to be in that room. We all qualify to be in that room to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, to receive that power to go into the world and change it and to transform it. You know, sometimes we can sit here and go, oh, you know, I'm just from Frankston. Awesome. Epicenter of revival. Bring it on. You know, I'm too young. I can't do that. Timothy was young. 1 Peter 4:12 said, do not let anybody look down on you because you are young, but set the example in word, speech, and action. You know, oh, I don't have great abilities. You've got abilities that God has given you for a purpose, each and every person in this place. We all have the right to receive the Holy Spirit and the ability to go and use it for his glory in the world. And we need to start believing that. It's a free gift to us. We qualify to be in that room. And all of the Holy Spirit, the power and the gifts, if we earnestly seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can have them. Sometimes we have them with us for long term, sometimes in a moment of need or necessity, they come out. So I talked about my journey with the prophetic thing. So Christy put together a team a couple of years ago to train them in the prophetic, and I was invited and was just like, nah, that's not me. That's Em's thing, that's not my thing. And so I said no. And then was at church that night after the first meeting, and she came out and said, why didn't you come? And I'm like, it's not me. And she's like, yes, it is. And we had a bit of a back and forth, and I was like, fine, I'll come next time, and you'll see that it's not me. I was wrong. I was wrong. So I doubted that it was me. But, you know, sometimes even if you make the space and you're doubting, God still comes through. And in our lives, we need to make that space for the Holy Spirit. We got to make that space. Like the disciples in that upper room made a space for the Holy Spirit to come. We need to make a space in our lives. And making that space is about intimacy. I think our entire walk with God is about intimacy with him. And it's not, I don't believe that it's optional. To me, intimacy is a necessity. If we're going to grow with God, and particularly with the Holy Spirit, we need to have that intimacy with the Father. We need to prioritize that intimacy. And I know it can be a word some people chuckle at or go, oh, no. Intimacy is a good thing. Intimacy with, you know, with people is a good thing, but with God and the Holy Spirit, it's essential for our relationship with him. And so we get to Acts chapter 2 in that upper room. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. It's pretty incredible. You know, they were all together in one place, and some translations say one accord. So they were all unified together. They were all believing for the same thing. And I think that there is great power in that. When we're believing the same thing, when we're of one accord, we're not divided amongst ourselves. You know, we're all going, you know what? We love God. We love Jesus, and we want the Holy Spirit. If we're all going in the same direction, so much bigger than if there's just a small group here and a small group here. And so in life, in our relationship with God to bring his glory to the world, we need to be of one accord. It's an important thing. And then verse 4, it starts off by saying all of them. And so we know there were men and women in that upper room. It doesn't matter who you are. We all have that access. There's no age or racial or gender status or gender or status divide. All had faith to trust, to make space. And this is our space. Every week, this is our space for God to do what he wants to do in and through us. I encourage you, make a space at home. Make a space at work if you need that little retreat space. Make a space for God to do something profound in your life. And this, not just getting the Holy Spirit's profound, but it's also Jesus following through on what he said. He said he'd send a helper, and he did. You know, we're called in the Great Commission to preach the gospel, to go and make disciples of all nations. In Acts 1:8, to go into all the ends of the earth to preach the gospel. And we're enabled and equipped to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to flick the switch, church. We have this ability by being filled, so we shouldn't be lazy or content with sitting still. You know, the preparation, the prayer, the waiting comes through intimacy, and intimacy with God is not a choice, like I said before. It's a necessity every day. And we do make spaces. We make excuses sometimes. Like I said, we're from Frankston, or I'm too young. God's bigger than all of that. And if we trust him, we believe that he can do more and more than that. When we pursue intimacy with God, when we are expectant and hungry and open with his Holy Spirit, we are free from bondage and transformed and equipped because we carry the fire and the authority and the power we have been given. But we've got to use it. Will, God's given you words to speak to people and over them. Words that will encourage, set them free, help them to come to know Jesus. And I know that you know it when he speaks those things to you to say. So today he is saying to you, you are strong and you are worthy. You have that voice and you can speak up. So do it. Rise up, declare this truth and praises. Be the leader and protector you're called to be. Be that, mate. So later in Acts 2, verses 17 to 19, Peter is quoting a scripture in the book of Joel. And it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men and women will see visions. Your old men and women will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. We're called to use the power of the Holy Spirit to dream dreams, to prophesy, to make a change in the world. We just need to flick the switch that allows for the outpouring over and through us. I don't know about you, but let us be a part of the next great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this earth and in this country. So I'm going to get Em to come up and she's going to share a little bit of prophetic stuff.
Thank you, Jim. So I'm excited this morning because it's probably the first time that I've been asked to share of any like length, I suppose. So I'm a little nervous, mostly because I feel like the Lord has spoken to me for our church, but I'll get to that in a sec. I want to talk a little bit like Jim did about his experience. I want to talk about my experience with the Holy Spirit first. And when I made a decision for Jesus when I was about 12 in the late 80s, hard to believe, I know. And my experience with the Holy Ghost, that's how it was spoken about then, was very different to Jim's. I think for me, in that environment of, you know, a very Pentecostal church, as a young teenager even, it was very normal. Speaking in tongues happened in church. It was pretty, you know, hooting and hollering, really. Prophecy, all of those kinds of things happened on a regular occurrence. So it actually wasn't something that I was ever cautious of, I suppose. And the word says that we should come as children. And I feel like, thankfully, and I feel quite blessed now to have had that experience at that age, because I feel like now when I see things in the Spirit and see God doing things, I don't necessarily question that it's God. I ask the Lord if it's something that I need to be a part of, in a sense. So I don't remember the exact moment when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm certain that I was prayed for or people laid hands on me and I had to go through that experience. It was a pretty long time ago, but I know that He is in my life who gives me guidance. I know that the Holy Spirit in my life is who leads me and who challenges me and who brings conviction to my heart. He's my wisdom and He's my peace. There were moments, I guess, in my Pentecostal life where it's been mental. Crazy things have happened. You know, I've seen people fall under the presence of God and I've fallen under the presence of God. And that's something I think that people look at sometimes and they go, what on earth is that? And I think as an explanation for those who ask that question, our bodies are finite. Our bodies cannot contain the power of the Holy Spirit in its fullness. And I think sometimes that becomes overwhelming. And God does stuff. If someone falls under the power of the Spirit, then God's doing stuff in their life. And I think that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is change in a person's life. It might be gradual, it might be instant. However, it is change. Laughing uncontrollably, ridiculously, screaming with laughter, kind of crazy, has happened to me. And, you know, I am easy to laugh. I like to laugh. But when the Holy Spirit brings joy to an overflow in a person's life, it's uncontrollable. Like, you know, it gets to a point, I think, where you can go, okay, all right, I'm good now. However, that has happened. And I can't explain that. I can't actually stand here and say, you know, I laughed because something was funny. It's not that. It's the joy uncontrollable that the Lord allowed me to feel, that the Holy Spirit welled up in me in joy. And so I feel like sometimes we have these questions about what the Holy Spirit does and why. But I think that having experienced some of those things, it's not as scary or as weird as it might look. And in Joel, it talks about, you know, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's a song about that. I won't sing it because it's ridiculous. I remember one day I was in a very large church and there was a guest speaker and he was speaking about the Holy Ghost. And at one point he said something and a guy who I was quite good friends with jumped up, like gave a big shout and then started sprinting around the building. And afterward, like sprinting around the building, and he did it probably 4 or 5 times and then, you know, was like exhausted. And I remember afterwards we were having a conversation about it and he said, I had to move. I had to do something because I felt the power of the Holy Spirit say, this is for you. And now that guy is, his ministry is about sharing the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that there is fruit in the Holy Spirit. So I guess one of the things for me that the Holy Spirit did in that period of time was that He showed me that the power of the Holy Spirit in me is something that I can tap into. And it says in the Word that we're to earnestly seek the gifts. So I believe that prophecy, speaking in tongues, words of knowledge, all of those gifts of the Spirit are available to all of us. And I believe that, you know, at times the Lord will actually empower you for a specific thing, like Jim was saying. I remember here in Frankston at McDonald's, I was talking to Rochelle. Some of you know Rochelle. I was talking to her about the struggles that she was going through with her health. And I felt the Lord really empower me to pray. I had faith. And it was a gift of the Holy Spirit at that time. Now, I wouldn't say that I am, that one of my gifts is faith, because I'm a bit of a worrier and I'm a bit of a doubter. However, at that time, the Holy Spirit urged me to pray for her, and I prayed for her, and the very next day she was called because they told her that they had a liver for her because she needed a liver transplant. Incredibly, like it blew me away that the Lord would use me like that. So I want to encourage you, church, don't feel like those things are for someone else, because they're for you. God sent his Holy Spirit to this place so that we could be empowered, not so that someone else could be empowered, so that we could be empowered. So prophecy is something that the Lord has put in me. He uses me in that way, not always in a big environment like this. Often it's, you know, when I'm praying for somebody, or he shows me things about people. But like Jim said, many words have been spoken over this place. And I want to share a few with you today, because no matter if you've been here since the beginning or if you walked in that door today and felt, gee, this feels like home, no matter, these words are for you, because this is our legacy. So I want to share with you some of the words. So Jim mentioned Frankston will see revival in this place. That's exciting. One of the words that I feel is really pertinent to us here is that we will tear down the word can't from this church and from our lives. And I don't know if you remember, was it Appleyard? Mark Appleyard? So when he came and he spoke, he actually had us stand up and pull down, like, you know, metaphorically pull down that word can't over this church. And I believe, church, that as we take hold of that and say, that word is no longer in my vocabulary, when we stand up and say, actually I can and we can, things will start to shift. And I believe that that's coming, and it's starting to happen. In the prayer meeting, there have been many times on a Wednesday where the Lord has quickened something in the prayer meeting. And one of those things was that we're like trees by the stream of life that do not wither and that bear much fruit. We'll tap into deep wells that have been dug by previous generations. I had, before Jim and I actually came to the Frankston Church, I had a vision as I was driving to Cheltenham one day, and I knew it wasn't for Cheltenham, I knew it was for here, and it was, and I think I've shared it before, but it was this dry, dusty old building with dust cloths over furniture and all of that sort of stuff. And then I saw the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through that place, and the doors and the windows were opened, the dust was blown away, and that place was filled with light, filled with air, filled with the presence of God. And I believe that that is this church. I believe that that is us as a people. Recently, like Jim said, Pastor Fabianic said, we'll be a church of the extreme, that what is normal in heaven is extreme on this earth. And church, I believe that as we step into the Holy Spirit's gifts on our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, we will see what is normal in heaven in our lives. And the world needs that. This community needs hope. This community needs us to actually say, no, you know what? God wants to change that about this place. God wants to change the narrative. Recently, Steve and Jim felt to share about the dry bones. And Warwick, you touched on it a bit this morning about declaring, you know, I believe that in each of us there is something that is dry. There is an area that we've kind of gone, I don't know if that'll ever happen. God spoke through Jim and Steve about that, and we grabbed hold of that at the beginning of the 40 days of prayer and fasting this year, because I believe that as we prophesy to those dry bones, as we speak to those dry bones, God will see them come to life. Dry bones might be dreams that we've kind of put aside because it doesn't fit into our lives, or because we feel like we've missed the boat. Speak to that. Lord, I pray that you bring that to life. Relationships. Maybe there's relationships that have been dry and stale in our lives and that have, you know, kind of died. Friendships. Speak to those dry bones. Speak to them, church. Prophesy to those dry bones. Our city, this city of Frankston, this state of Victoria, this nation. Let's speak, church. Let's declare that this city of Frankston, this state of Victoria and this nation of Australia will come to the Lord. They will hear the word of the Lord. They will see the Spirit move in this place. So I want to read a scripture because I feel like I really sense the Lord speaking to me about this scripture while we were preparing for this morning. And it's Isaiah 61, and I think that it's fairly well known, but I really feel that this is now for us. I feel like we're coming into a season of this scripture. So let me read it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He's anointed us, church. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. How many brokenhearted people in this city? To proclaim freedom from the captives and release from darkness the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And then down in verse 7 it says, instead of shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nation and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Frankston, we're blessed. This church has had its time of mourning. This church has had its times of sadness. We've seen and been people in despair. We've lived with shame, disgrace, and we've been on the end of wrongdoing. But it's time to rise as those anointed to bring good news. Because we are. We're anointed, church. The Holy Spirit anoints us to be that people to stand up, to rise up and say no more. To bind up the broken, to free the captives, to bring light, to proclaim the Lord's favor, to bring comfort, to provide, to present beauty, joy, and to praise him. It's time to take our inheritance, not shrinking back from his call, from the call of this mandate, but rising up in the call of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Holy Spirit, would you come in this place? Would you come like you did on that first Pentecost day and change our lives like you changed the lives of those that day? Would you come, Holy Spirit, quicken in us that spirit to rise? You know, some of us today are nervous about this Holy Spirit stuff. But the Holy Spirit's not pushy. He knows where you're at. Some of us today need the Holy Spirit to come in like a rushing wind, to blow through, to breathe on us again. Some of us need the Holy Spirit to come like fire. Fire consumes. It's unstoppable. Faith is like fire, passionate, burning, deep. Lord, I pray that you light that fire. Fire also purifies and it burns up the things that we don't need. It sets us free. And some of us need to be set free from stuff that we don't need today. Some today need the river of the Holy Spirit to bring refreshing, to bring soothing. Can I encourage you, church, today to step into that river? If you need refreshing, if there's areas that need to be soaked in the presence of God, I challenge you to dive in. Others today need the oil of the anointing for what He's called us to do, for what He's asked you to do. Because that anointing, the oil of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as it moves over you, says that you are called. It says that you are chosen. It says that this task is for you, and I endorse it. The Holy Spirit is also like a dove. He's gentle. He's kind. Some of us need that gentle, sweet dove today. His presence does not bring confusion. It brings peace. It brings comfort to know that He is there and He sees you. Jesus called the Holy Spirit our helper. He guides, He leads, He gives wisdom. And some of us today need those things. So church, on this day of Pentecost, can I say that that's available? He will speak, He will guide, because the Holy Spirit is so interested in every area of our lives. And some of us today want the whole shebang. The power of the Holy Spirit is undeniable, life-changing, electric. It moves you to need to do something, to go, to speak, to sing, to change something. One thing I know is that the Holy Spirit is here and He wants to meet you in this place today.